Well, good morning and welcome back to the God School. I'm still here. Been a little while since we've opened up the Word. I want to go today to passages of Scripture which puts God front and center, where he wants to be, where he will be, where he is. I want you to open your Bibles to the first epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. And he opens and he says, Paul, called to be an apostle. What it really says is called to be sent of Jesus Christ, not by his will, but called to be sent of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, unto the church, unto the outcalled ones, and unto, we get that, our English word, church, its etymology goes all the way back to a Greek word, not used in the scripture, but part of the nomenclature, part of our speech, and its meaning is the Lord's, the people who belong to the Lord. That's who I am speaking with or about today. To you, who belong to the Lord. Paul's going to have plenty to say about the world. I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to the Lord's people today. In order that ye might be encouraged, that ye might be edified. That is, come to a better knowledge, a better understanding through the Word by the Spirit of God, which is given to the men and women of faith. So let's go on. It says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. You know, the root is the same, sanctified and saints. It simply means to be separated, to be committed. It's not some earthly understanding of holiness. It is those who have committed their lives to God, not to walk perfectly, but to walk by faith. Called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Another translation has the Lord of us and them. the Lord of them and us. Grace, unmerited favor to you, and peace, Eirene. Set together again. Peace. Who's doing the setting together again? Who's giving unmerited favor? It is from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Paul did a lot of teaching in the city of Corinth. They heard the word. They got the knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This Christian walk involves a lot of waiting. It involves a lot of hope, for we're not home yet, and we're waiting for the revelation that manifestation, that time when Jesus Christ shall come again. Waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you. I don't want to get too deep into grammar today, but this word confirm in the Greek, it is in what's called the indicative case. It is a statement of fact. It's past, present, and future. It is always. He shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what God is doing, has done, will do, is doing, and will do to people who belong to him, to people of faith? He says he is going to make us blameless. That's certainly not the condition I find myself in today. And I got enough years, enough gray hairs to understand anyone who is hearing this word today on earth, it's not your condition that is blameless yet. Blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Pistuantes. He does what he says, and that wonderful hopeful statement of that we may be found blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is confirming, he says, God's faithful, by whom we were called. Who called us? God called us. I didn't call you. Your mother didn't call you. The church on the corner didn't call you. God called us. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Unto the fellowship, koinonia, joint participation. Of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Knowledge. For it's been declared unto me of you by my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Oh, you know, I could probably go on for hours on denominations, on images and truths of God that one perceives and another doesn't, that this one perceives this and that one perceives that. Oh, open your ears and hear what the sent one of God by Jesus Christ has to say here. That there are no contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. Is Christ, Paul says, divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Or were you baptized in the Presbyterian faith? Or were you baptized in the Baptist faith? I thank God, Paul says, that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. To preach the God-spiel, to preach God's word, to preach God and the influence, the effective influence of his word. Not with wisdom of words, not with wisdom of speech, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. That is, empty, useless of power. power. What Christ did. For the preaching of the cross is, King James says, is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know, by this translation, you know, that doctrine of once saved, always saved, could have some substance, but the Greek says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness, but unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, I know, having the Spirit of God, the frustration of watching the foolishness of the world in action. Oh, we're going to save the world. We're going to end fossil fuels. We're going to eliminate bigotry and racism. Oh, look at how grand our plans are. And they know not God, and their foolishness. And this word in the Greek, we get the derivative moronic, if you want the hard truth. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them, pistuantos, not that believe, them, the faithing ones, that is, those who are grabbing hold of God's word as though it is more real, for it is, than all that we see or hear, and grab hold acting based upon the assent of the mind, the agreement of the mind with confidence. The Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. Why a stumbling block to the Jews? For they think somehow or other, because they were given the responsibility of the law, the Old Testament, that somehow or other, that they kept the law, that they were somehow righteous in the sight of God. And when God, through the cross of Christ, redeemed us from all our sins, redeemed us from our short, fallen condition, and he did it, as Hebrews says, by himself, purified us from our sins. Well, that can't be right. There's the stumbling block. God can't do that for me. Well, he did for me. And to you faithing ones, he did for you. And to the Greeks, foolishness. Oh, that's moronic. Who could have any confidence in that? But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, we could add, after the flesh, not many noble, are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. We find in this 27th verse this word being translated chosen. I don't know how much time we've spent on that same word out of the 4th verse of the 1st chapter of Ephesians. Exelexito, it means previously spoken, chosen by word, chosen by speaking, out from among those who are not chosen, and that wonderful understanding given to us by the Greek language, which has this voice called the middle voice, which tells us the purpose of the activity, the purpose of the choosing out from among those he didn't choose that he had previously done. It tells us that God has done this for himself. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. We could say, and the things which are not seen, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? And Paul is going to go on and he says, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Folks, the better translation of this 29th verse is that no flesh should boast in his presence. That passage in Ephesians, wherein it says, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Don't lift yourself up. Lift up the word of God. Lift up Jesus Christ. Lift up the cross of Christ. What Christ has done for us. He took upon himself the sins of the whole world, that he might save some out of the world. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Not our righteousness, Jesus's righteousness. Before the foundation of the world, he said he would stand in for fallen man. And on the cross, he did. Despising the cross, but he did what he did. He took upon himself the sins of the whole world. He is righteous. Righteousness has to do with keeping covenant, with keeping your word. And Jesus, like God, is faithful. And sanctification, that simply means separation. That came in before the foundation of the world, Ephesians declares, where God chose out you and you and you and me out from among those he did not choose, and redemption. We say in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts, a debt we could not pay. But Jesus Christ, by his cross, did pay it, the full price. One who was worth more than the whole world gave himself for our debts. The price is paid, folks, by Jesus, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. No, he that boasts, let him boast in the Lord. Paul goes on in the second chapter and he says, we're drawing this to a close. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not in excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words or persuading words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit, that is, the Spirit of God and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God.